Thanks and good afternoon, everybody. Hope everyone is doing well. Before we get into the call, I just want to remind everyone that we announced yesterday that tickets for WrestleMania 32 will go on sale Friday, November 6th at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time through Ticketmaster. Just want to get that out there. And now I'll turn things over to WWE's Executive Vice President of Talent, Live Events and Creative, Paul Levesque.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for joining us today. Sorry, a couple of minutes late. I just landed and came directly here. But I had to stop on my way into the building to call Bruno Sammartino and wish him a happy 80th birthday, which is amazing that Bruno is 80 years old and has literally, he had a back surgery this year, but he is he's just started training again and trains 5 days a week and is probably healthier than 90% of the world's population, I would imagine. He's an amazing, amazing man. They told him he heals off his surgery like he's a 20-year-old, which I believe. So on to NXT, you know, coming out of Brooklyn. It's a very exciting time coming out of Brooklyn with over 15,000 fans in a sold-out Barclays Center. Obviously, everybody on just a massive emotional high. Exciting announcements of the UK tour coming up that are that is selling amazingly well, that we will be running a takeover special out of London's Wembley that is already sold out. You know, some of the shows on the UK tour have sold out. I don't know if anybody got to see the WWE NXT 24 last night on the WWE Network. But I was very proud of that and felt like it was an exceptional show. And I think it got to showcase a lot of the emotional importance to a lot of our talent and to everybody that works with NXT and the Performance Center, just how important it is to everybody and what a big deal it is to them. We're coming off a successful weekend this past weekend of working in Nashville and to a sold-out crowd, and then participating in the Louder Than Life Music Festival in Louisville. These music festivals for us are pretty great. They have, you know, tens of thousands. I think this festival had in the range of 30,000 a day for 2 days that NXT was a part of. And just to put us in, a lot of our fans came specifically to see us, but, you know, to be in front of a different crowd of maybe people that aren't as hardcore WWE or NXT fans as usual was a great experience for everybody to learn in front of a different crowd. But that whole thing is very exciting. And it leads us to this Wednesday's NXT. And, you know, the title of this NXT takeover is Respect. The name has a lot of meaning. It's, you know, a lot about Dusty and his contributions to everything at the Performance Center and NXT. Dusty, as I've said before, just can't be replicated and can't be replaced here. And all of these talents are performing in the Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic, which will culminate this Wednesday at TakeOver. And that all comes down to their respect for Dusty. And I think they're all looking forward to making this something special in Dusty's memory. And then the respect works on a second level as well, being the women of NXT competing for the first time in a main event strictly by themselves as the main event. And I know we talked about Brooklyn co-maining eventing, but they are the main event, and that is Sasha and Bayley for the NXT Women's Championship in a 30-minute Ironman match. You know, it is about respect. It's about respect they have for each other. It's about respect towards the women's division in our business in general and showing what women can do. You know, this is a very special night for a lot of people, and I think that Bayley and Sasha, as much as they've already done to revolutionize women's wrestling, as much as they've done to put on a different platform, I think they are going to raise that bar again this Wednesday night. I know if their excitement and their nerves have anything to do with it, it's going to be awesome. And in addition to that, while we're talking about the Performance Center and everything else, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention the WWE Network's new series, Breaking Ground, that will be debuting soon. And that is all being shot right now and is in the process of being shot, covering, you know, backstage of NXT TakeOver, of the behind the scenes of the Performance Center, of the Louder Than Life festivals, of Nashville, of all of it. And it's really, if the NXT 24 was something that you were intrigued by, I think when you see Breaking Ground, it's going to take it to a whole nother level. I think that the look inside of what it takes to be an NXT or a WWE superstar is going to be like nothing that's ever been seen before. So I'm very, very excited about that show. With that, I've rambled long enough. Love to take some questions.
Guys, if possible, keep it to two questions per outlet. Thank you.
If you would like to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you're using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, press star 1 to ask a question. And we'll take our first question from Mike Johnson with PWInsider.com.
Hey, Paul, how are you? Hello?
Oh, hey, Mike, how you doing? Sorry, we hit the wrong
button. I'm good. That's okay. I've got a kind of a two-tiered question for you. I know we're talking about respect, but at the TakeOver Brooklyn show, WWE ran three different nights, and each night, specifically with NXT, but we saw it with the pay-per-view and Raw, it seemed like the makeup of the crowd was very different, and the demographics of the NXT crowd, both in age and gender, they skewed very young, both for men and women. And with the Raw and the pay-per-view, it seemed more to be more of all ages, different families and kids and things of that, and older fans. I'm curious what you derive from that and what lessons you've kind of learned from the unique demographics NXT has brought to you. And I guess the other part of the question is, you know, you said 2015 was going to kind of be the year that you threw all sorts of ideas at the wall. What sort of lessons have been learned thus far, especially when you look at how you've gotten a very unique, different demographic than WWE usually gets for their larger shows, for the big NXT shows, and what can WWE overall glean from that information?
Well, I think there is a difference in, clearly, in the crowds that you saw on the different nights. I think the bigger question for me is how much crossover is there, you know? While there is a much larger, you know, as you put it, like young adult, I think, influx into the NXT brand, you know, NXT is a little bit more, it's funny because the brand is realistically no different from a performance standpoint, but it's a little edgier, it's a little more underground. I think I've heard people say, you know, NXT is punk rock or heavy metal. It's more of a niche, and I think that's what you derive from that is we're feeding that niche. That niche is huge, though. You know, obviously, 15,000 people in the Barclays Center. We sold it out. That niche is huge. But when you talk about WWE overall, and you talk about, I think if NXT is punk and heavy metal and hip hop and a little bit more specific to those genres, then WWE is more pop music. It kind of catches everybody, and it's your general population. So you've got kids, you've got older adults, you've got young adults, you've got just about everybody in there, and you know you're trying to serve all those masters. And we're trying to serve a niche. I know who my fan base is with NXT, and that's who I'm trying to serve, you know. But I think that the question becomes for me, what I would want to glean out of that is what is the crossover? You know, what is the percentage of people that went from NXT over to the pay-per-view that went to Raw or vice versa? You know, and how does that compare, and what were their likes and dislikes, you know, because the idea, obviously, on the main roster is to serve as many people as possible without alienating anybody. And you try to do that, not always easy, but you try to do that in the best way possible. As far as 2015, man, when I say we've thrown a lot against the wall, you know, from even running live events outside of Florida. If you look back to before WrestleMania of last year, we'd only done two. I think two or three. You know, it's grown to have a fully functioning. Well, I do now, but I'm hoping to have a fully functioning third brand that is touring as frequently as the main roster is now. We've added in the live events at the music festivals. We've added in that now in December going to the UK. We have interest in doing festivals over there. We have interest in touring in more places internationally. As I was meeting with the promoter from Louder Than Life the other day, he was laughing at the success of our brand and saying, now's the time when it gets hard to say no to things that are really cool. You just don't have the space to do them in. And we're starting to get there now. People are starting to come to us with all these opportunities and ideas, and we're just sort of getting to a point where we're kind of running out of bandwidth, and we're starting to be able to say, well, that's a great idea. Maybe we do it next year because we don't have the space this year, you know. But great problem to have.
Might be time for a brand split.
That sounds good in theory, but I'm not sure I can handle that.
You only got 24 hours in the day.
I want to give
someone else a chance to get on here. Thank you as always, and I appreciate the time.
Thanks, Mike.
The next question is from Jason Powell with ProWrestling.net.
Hey, Paul, I know you mentioned on the NXT panel during SummerSlam weekend that you can't replace Dusty Rhodes, and I respect that, but who has taken over his duties as head of the promo class?
It's kind of a split right now. You know, we're still looking for the magic. It's not finding the person to take the role, and that's kind of what I meant by, like, he's irreplaceable. We almost have to – what Dusty created – and what we had with that promo class, the way he operated it worked for him. And it worked for the way he worked with talent and the way he gave them guidance and directions. We're still kind of using that same format, and we're just kind of having other people take the place. But what I'm really trying to do is find the right person or people to be in that role, but yet morph it to what works for how they're going to teach and how they're going to direct that process. You almost kind of have to revamp the whole thing, because just plugging somebody else into Dusty's system, it just doesn't work, because nobody thinks like him, you know, and nor could they ever. So you have to find a system that works for them. So it's a work in progress, but right now it's a mix between some internal people, William Regal. We're bringing in guests to work with talent and the staff we have here, and I'm looking for the right person to kind of fill that in on a longer-term basis.
And we saw Great Muta appear in the last live special. Are you currently having any discussions with New Japan Pro Wrestling about doing more with that group?
I missed the match with Muta in it, but I'm assuming you mean Liger?
Oh, yeah, I apologize.
I don't mind working with Muta, but I like Muta. But, I'm open to anything. You know, and that is what that's what I think is great that we can do with this, where sometimes there's limitations because of a lot of business reasons with the other things we do. And, you know, by that I mean WWE and main roster and all those things. With NXT, we can open those doors up. We can talk to New Japan. We can talk to different outfits and see if there's things that we can do together, if there's things that we can work on together, or if not, if it's just using talent for one-offs here or there or whatever it is. I've met with New Japan. We'll see what comes out of it, you know, but I really look at NXT and all of this with a blank slate and an open mind and what is best at the end of the day for our fan base.
Well, just to keep with the theme, good luck tomorrow, Sean.
Thanks, Bob.
We'll go next to Jason Namako with WrestleView.com.
Good afternoon, Hunter. How are you?
I'm great, man. How are you doing?
Good. Obviously, the one fan really wants to talk about is tomorrow night's main event with Bayley and Sasha Banks, the 30-minute Ironman match for the women's title. And everybody's been talking about their match from Brooklyn. And for those who saw the special last night and showed a lot of highlights in the build-up to that match, telling Bayley's story, telling Sasha's story. In looking back on that match and in hindsight, how important do you feel that match is going to be in terms of the revitalization of women's wrestling in WWE? I remember the line that Corey Graves said at the very end of the match when the four horsewomen were all in the ring holding up the four fingers, and he said, "Women's wrestling is back." How important do you feel like that match is going to be, you know, a couple of years down the road to, you know, Charlotte and Becky and Bayley and Sasha's, you know, drive and passion to bring women's wrestling and get it back to WWE?
I think it's huge, and I think it's going to be massively important, but I also think there are a lot of other moments that are, you know, massive and important and are accomplishing the same thing. You know, to say it's one moment in time that changes everything, it may seem that way when you get 10 years into the future or something, but when you're in the middle of it, you know, this has been a long time coming. All of it has, building from, you know, Natty being a part of it and Charlotte being a part of it and Sasha being a part of it and Sarah Del Rey coming on board and just the way it was presented, the way fans were willing to accept it, and also the way the world changed. You know, Ronda Rousey and the UFC, you know, the U.S. women's soccer team, just all these things and events happening at the same time that were empowering women. And, you know, we happen to be kind of in that mix of having the right people to be able to execute. And I think it's one of the greatest matches I've ever seen. And I'm not saying for women, but I think the reality of the situation is all these bits and pieces are all cogs in a wheel of women taking, you know, kind of that spot back, and the world, whether that be the WWE Universe or anybody else, realizing that these are phenomenal athletes that are every bit as dedicated and passionate and, you know, invested and willing to do what it takes and make the sacrifices necessary with their themselves, their personal lives, their bodies, all of it, that the guys are, you know, and recognizing them as such. You know, I don't, to say that's the moment that made it happen negates all the stuff that happened before that to get them to that spot, and I would hate to do that. Absolutely an important spot, but it's not one moment. It's this giant wheel of momentum, this, you know, and so many people are a part of that. And it's funny when I hear the bickering, you know, storyline-wise about, like, well, I created the Divas Revolution. No, I did. You know, it's great fodder for storylines. The reality of it is they all did. You know, they all started it, and they were all a big piece of it, and will continue to be.
Indeed. And one other quick question. There was a thing from the Louder Than Life festival over the weekend of Bayley kind of doing the timekeeping backstage and kind of helping out in that aspect. Has other NXT talents kind of come up and wanting to try and learn other things behind the scenes and how the overall presentation is done in WWE, or is that kind of a out of the blue thing with Bayley?
No. You know, I think that's a common thing. Listen, there are some people that, and this is not a positive or a negative of anybody. There are some talent that want to do what they do in the ring. They want to be a performer. They want to do it, and that's it. They don't want to think about it. They don't want to get into any other parts of it. They don't want to see anything else. And then there are some that are very immersed in what the product is and are very curious to everything. Well, why would you do that? Why do they do this? And, you know, how does that work? Why are you guys on those headsets? Like, they just want to know everything. I think, you know, when you're at Raw or SmackDown, sometimes those opportunities aren't there. You know, it's crunch time, and it's just very involved and very there's a lot of pressure and a lot going on, and you can't just have somebody kind of just sitting there just trying to listen to what's going on. Here you can, you know, and I try to encourage talent. I say to guys all the time, look, if you're smart and you want to learn the other side of the business too, this business doesn't have to end for you when you're done taking bumps. It can continue. I was always fascinated with the inside operation of the business, how it worked, how things were created, all of it. And I think it's why I now love doing what I'm doing. But, you know, some people gravitate towards that. You know, Sami Zayn, when he got injured, was like, hey, when I'm at the shows, can I come and sit by where you guys are and listen to what's going on? Absolutely. I want him to understand that side of it. And if that makes him see what he does in a different way that he never thought of it that way before, that's great. It makes him a better performer. You know, some are very interested in that, some are not. You know, and that's a great thing. It's no different than when we're here at the Performance Center. Some talent want to be told what to do, and they want to train, and they want to bust their ass for their coaches, and then they want to be done with it. And others are fascinated with that coaching process, and actually are then, you know, if they're at an advanced level, they're then trying to coach down to these other talent and help them along the way and kind of be coaches themselves. And that's just kind of a personality thing, you know. But I encourage that. I think it's great. And, you know, I know we put Timekeeper down there, but, yeah, she was just on the headset listening to the show production as it was going on. And it's, to be honest, it's a fascinating way to learn about the things that you never thought of because you just see it from your side.
Indeed. Thank you very much, Hunter, for taking my questions, and good luck to you tomorrow night.
Thank you.
Next is Nick Hausman with WrestleZone.
Hi, Paul. Thank you very much for taking the call today.
Hey, Nick. Thanks a lot.
My question is about this past weekend. Finn Balor decided to go out and have some fun on Twitter. He cross-chopped in front of the TNA offices in Nashville, and he posed with Grado, and they stood in front of a UFC sign. Is this something that concerns you, or is this something you encourage and you think is funny?
It's funny. Look, here's the reality, and whether anybody wants to believe this or not, right? So when our guys are on the road, it's beneficial for us to travel them by bus. It works out better, and we do that depending on the market. So when they all landed in Nashville, the bus picked them up, and we give direction to the company as to what our needs are, and the need is to take them to a gym of a certain caliber and thing. Well, they did, and they brought them to the gym, and when the bus pulled up out front, the gym happened to be right next door to their offices, to TNA's offices. And Finn has a very large sense of humor and thought it would be quite entertaining to jump out of the bus and, of course, just get under the sign and take a photo. And he immediately sent the photo to me with a tag at the bottom that said, hope you don't mind if I tweet this out. And, you know, look, he's having fun, and people take stuff too seriously. He's having a great time, and you know, people, you know, fire back or whatever. Look, it's creative, and it's fun, and it's good-spirited, and it is what it is. If people blow up over it or think whatever they want to think, that's their business, you know?
Yeah, and my other question then I'll ask about what everyone's buzzing about, which is the women's division in NXT. Tomorrow night, of course, Sasha and Bayley going at it in an Iron Woman match. Is there a chance this opens the door for women in NXT or on the main roster to compete in other matches that have been specific to men, like Elimination Chambers or Hell in a Cell bout?
Look, if they're smart, they don't want to compete in the Elimination Chamber. I don't want to compete in the Elimination Chamber. It's brutal. I think the opportunity is there for them to be competitive on every level. And I don't know that we should look at them any differently than we look at any other competitor. So I think those opportunities exist, and we'll see where they go. You know, one thing I do want to – you mentioned Iron Woman match, and this has been a – something I've seen debated on the internet, and you know, when we made the plans to do this, I asked the question, like, so is it Iron Man or is it Iron Woman match? And we all debated it, and I felt like, look, if you compete in the, I don't know what you would call it, the triathlon Iron Man competition, and you win it as a woman, I'm pretty sure you win the Iron Man. You don't win the Iron Woman, right? You just win the Iron Man because you win it. So that was my stance on it. Everybody kind of weighed in, and Lita was there, and I asked Lita what she thought, and she thought to call it Iron Woman would be derogatory towards women. You know, it's an Iron Man match. That's what it is. I want to do the same match the guys do. It's an Iron Man match. And I said, well, there you go. So it's an Iron Man match. So everybody that's complaining, you know, everybody has their opinion, but if they win, whoever wins is going to win the Iron Man match. It's just the way it is. It's not derogatory. It's not anything else. They want to be able to compete in the same thing, and that match is called an Iron Man. It's just what it is.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much for the time. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Our next question is from Scott Fishman with the Miami Herald.
Hey, Paul. How are you again? Good talking to you again.
Hey, Scott. Yep.
We know in the past Vince McMahon has been hot and cold when it comes to women's wrestling. I was just curious, was it a hard sell for you to push, let alone them and Bayley and Sasha in the main event, let alone in a 30-minute match of this caliber?
Was it hard for me to push him into it?
Well, no, for Vince, you know, he gets the final approval most, you know, all the time. So it just, was it hard to sell that to him, that concept, or was he all for it?
Yeah, no, he doesn't in NXT.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he found out about it after I did it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you know,
so
it's...
What was his response then, I guess?
He thought it was great. You know, listen, he is as much... It's funny, he takes a bad rap for that. Look, he's for what the fans... And I know people have a hard time understanding this. He is for what the fans want to see. And I know that there's creative, you know, thoughts and, oh, that can't be possible or whatever. But he does. And when he sees... and it might take a while, but when he sees that fans are reacting in a certain way to a certain thing, if he sees women wrestling and it's presented in a certain way and fans are getting it and they're going crazy for it, he loves it, you know, and he wants to present it that way. Now, is there a different way that he wants to present it in his mind on the main roster or whatever? Sure, that's where he is with it, you know. What I'm doing down here in NXT, and it's not to say that he doesn't have a weigh-in on it. He certainly does. If he told me afterwards, we're not doing that, change it, I'd have to go figure out a way to change it. But, you know, he is for what works and what is going to be best for our fans. And you know, he stood at gorilla position at Barclays, and... it was one of the things that I was most proud of that night was he came up. It's very hard for him when you do what he has done for so long and you have your finger on everything in the business to just sit and watch. And he, you know, he debated on not coming because I think he didn't want to step on anybody's toes or mine or, and I would have been disappointed if he didn't, but he came and he stood at Gorilla and he just watched the show and he was clapping and he was, you know, smiling and having a great time, and I don't know when the last time he just sat and watched a show was, you know, because he's always producing it and he's always got a responsibility for it. And I can tell you that he was blown away by their match. And you know, I'm down in Orlando now. I was at TV last night, and one of the last things he said to me before I left is he was like, "Hey, good luck down there." He said, "Man, I can tell you, I can't wait to watch this Bayley Sasha match. Can't wait. It's going to be awesome." That's one of the last things he said. So, you know, he's a fan of it, too.
That's great to hear. And also, you know, we're talking about, you know, Bayley and Sasha, but another match on the card involving women's wrestling that's a big deal is Asuka finally making her in-ring debut. Just talk about what that means for the women's division and also having her opponent and Dana Brooke. You know, this is kind of her big match as well.
Sure. I think, you know, I think Asuka is going to, again, like I said before, everything is a cog in the wheel of making this thing move forward and women's wrestling, if that's what you want to say, getting its place and what it should be and all of that and delivering. I think she's another massive cog in that wheel. Huge fan of her work. I'm interested to see. You know, there's this it's hard to articulate, but there is a transition period when anybody comes in here, whether it be from the Indies, whether it be from, you know, Japan or someplace else. You know, it took Hideo a while to get his footing. You know, every time I would talk to him, I would say, do what you do. You know, I brought you here for a reason. Do what you do. and he struggled. And it, you get inside your own head as a performer, and you struggle. The only thing I can equate it to is they say, like, going from college football to the NFL, it's like a different game. The speed is different. The game is different. It's played differently. And it's just, it takes players a while to get used to the difference and to begin to excel again. And some never do. I think it's the same thing in this. And but I can tell you just by seeing the little bit that she's done with us already, she is an uber professional. She is beyond ready for this, and I'm just expecting huge things out of her. I think she's going to be phenomenal, and she just has this innate charisma to her that is, I think, again, another giant cog in the wheel of moving the women's wrestling movement forward.
All right, thank you so much.
We'll go next to Jim Varsalone with the Miami Herald.
Hey, Jim.
Hey, Paul. So what was your thought process to have the women do that curtain call at Barclays Center, something similar to a curtain call about 20 years ago?
Yeah, I was just trying to, just trying to see who would get fired out of the deal. For me, it's about emotion and telling the story and emotion. And, Vince has taught me for years, since the day I met him, if you put yourself in the seats, if you're just a fan and you put yourself in the seats, you'll never go wrong. And that's how I try to approach it, right? And I put myself in the seats. What would I want to see? And what's real to them? And what would they love to do? And if they got the opportunity to do it and do it with real emotion, what would it be? You know, it's real. You know, in real sports, in other sports, two guys fight or two women fight and they're bitter rivals and then they beat the crap out of each other and then they hug and they shake hands and it's a part of the story. And they might go back to slinging mud at each other again the next day. But in that moment, it's kind of that real moment, I think, is the overwhelming emotion. And I like capturing that, and I like that real emotion, especially in something that big. You know, it was Sasha's swan song. It was Bailey's kind of ascension. It was just all those things that made it so emotional. And then for all those girls that, you know, in some way bonded together over this process of revolutionizing the business and being here every day and supporting each other in a way that had never been done before, it was really emotional. In some ways, it was very much like, you know, the curtain call back in the day of guys that just had this bond and this friendship, and some were leaving and some were staying, but we'd all done this great thing together and just wanted to have a moment to celebrate that together, and they wanted to too. And it was magic for everybody there. What a dry eye in the house.
And what was Vince's reaction to the whole situation and segment?
Loved it. Absolutely loved it. Thought it was a great touch. Thought it was, you know, look, how can you, 15,000 people are going crazy and going crazy as much for that moment and that emotion as they were for anything else that night. And that's what we sell. The moves and the bumps and the high spots and all that stuff, they're all special effects in the movie that we make that is, you know, this business, and the emotion, and that's what we sell. And when you buy into that story and that long-term emotion and the characters, and then you deliver that emotion in the biggest way possible, that's awesome. And it's not bad for the bad guy to show that emotion or have that you know, the tear up or the excitement. It's not. It's real. And fans, I think especially now more than ever, I guess I said it in a working character way years ago, but it's kind of sort of true. I feel like we're kind of in this reality era of people know as much about the reality of our business as they do of the story of our business. And if you can kind of meld the two but keep that reality and that emotion of that reality fresh in there, it makes it magical.
Great moment, and thank you for it.
Thank you.
All right, guys, the next caller will be the final one for the day.
And the next question is from William Schuyler with OneWrestling.com.
Afternoon, Paul. How are you today?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I am doing great. Just a quick shout-out there. The boss would kill me if I didn't tell you. He would have let you know that wonderful Willie said hello.
Please tell him I said hello.
I will. And a guy named Randy Helms, you may know pretty well, also said to say hi to you.
I do.
My question for you is has to do with an original Paul Heyman guy in your NXT division. Is Gabe Sapolsky have some type of open-door policy with his Evolve Dragon Gate USA with NXT as a Johnny Gargano, who's made such a big splash on the television as of late, apparently still has dates. I know he's going to be at an Evolve show in October. And I'm just curious if that was, are they possibly maybe a feeding system for you working together, or is the rumor out there that Gabe may actually come in to be part of the NXT book?
The second part, that's new to me. As far as the Evolve and Gabe and kind of a feeder system, yeah, I look at all of that as feeder system, and I love what Gabe does. I love what Evolve does. I think that they are one of the sounder promotions as far as how they handle their talent, as far as how they tell their stories, and as far as how they handle their in-ring product. I do see them as a feeder system. I support them. I support their shows. A lot of our talent have come through there over the years, and they've learned a lot from there. Everybody speaks highly of them and speaks highly of Gabe and that process, and that's important to me as well. It's the quality of the people. So, yeah, do I support them? Do I see them as a feeder for us? If I had somebody that I didn't have room here for at the PC, or if I wanted to give them some further training out there before I had a space for them here, would I send them to Gabe? Absolutely. I think they're a very important part to the business, and I know it's a struggle out there to keep things rolling and to keep things, kind of alive if you're a small promotion and some of the other, if this makes sense, bigger small promotions are making that more difficult sometimes for the smaller promotions. So, I support them in any way I can, and if I can help them out, I'd love to, and promote their events. Look, I think having that healthy, independent undercurrent to the business is vitally important, and I don't want to see that go away.
Great. And I just had one more thing for you. I have made a bold prediction at One Wrestling on my NXT video cast that Apollo Crews, in my opinion, could be, and I will be, I'll say, the first black WWE World Heavyweight Champion in 3 years because of his skills, his charisma, and he just seems to me to have what it takes to be possibly that man to take the company, that being not just NXT, but the WWE into the future, a la like a John Cena. I just wanted to know what your opinion was of Apollo and his skills.
I'm a huge fan of Apollo. First of all, if I wasn't a huge fan of him, he wouldn't be here, but I'm a huge fan of him. I think he has all the potential in the world. Very high on him, and I think the sky's the limit for him. It's just like anybody, how much work does he want to put into it and perseverance and sticking with it and doing all the things that it takes to get to the top. But I do think he has the skill set and everything it takes to get there, the personality, all of it. I always chuckle at the first African American, like I get Rock and Booker T. I guess those guys don't count, but I never understand that mentality. But to keep it to Apollo, yeah, I mean the kid has he has all the talent in the world, and the future is very, very bright for him, and I'm high on him.
Great. Well, I appreciate you for answering the questions and having the time for me today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, folks, that will wrap up today's call. Thank you all very much for being a part of the call.
Thank you guys again for doing this. And, again, I'll throw it out there that we just, I failed to mention this earlier, but we also just ran the first kind of performance center all access, which is like a one-day all access fantasy camp, sort of to come to the performance center and see what we do here and be a part of it and kind of live out a dream day of being a WWE superstar, so to speak. But I'll throw out to everybody out there again, if you want to come and see what we do, Performance Center, NXT, please reach out and love to have you, love to show you what we do and, answer the questions you have. But thank you for being a part of this, as always. I really appreciate the support, the interest and the support in NXT, and look forward to doing this every time we do it. So thank you very much.
Thanks, everybody. Enjoy NXT TakeOver. Respect tomorrow night.